How do you handle stress? Noah was a man who knew something about stress. Some anonymous person tells us of the lessons that he or she learned from Noah. One of the lessons, don't miss the boat. And another one, we're all in the same boat. Well, that's true if you're on the inside of the boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, somebody may ask you to do something big. Don't listen to critics. Just do the job that needs to be done. Build your future on high ground. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board along with the cheetahs. When you're stressed, float a while. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. And finally, no matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Last week's message was part one of how to handle stress. In that message, based on Psalm 46, the anti-stress psalm, we identified five things that we need to know, assurances that we have that help us to manage stress. That was part one, with the promise that this week, in part two of the message, we would identify the things that we need to do on the basis of what we know on those about those assurances that are ours, these things that will help us with the issue of stress. I want to push the pause button on that and move the original part two to part three and introduce a new part two. Otherwise, we would miss something that's very important, in fact, is essential in this whole aspect of dealing with stress in our lives. So let me first quickly review the assurances that we identified last week. Five things that we can be assured of. Number one, God is our refuge and strength. It's personal. He is our. He is my. He is your refuge and strength. God is personally concerned with you and what's happening in your life. He is concerned with our individual situations, and he is attentive to them. And he never forsakes, especially in times of trouble. God is our refuge. And the message, the overriding message of this psalm is that God is our safe place. He is our refuge. He's the one to whom we can go and hide and be safe from Satan's activities and from the stresses and the dangers and the fears that we may be facing. God is also our strength. When the pressures are greater than your strength, what do you need? Less pressure or more strength? See, and I would suggest maybe it's more strength that we need, because God does not merely increase our strength, he gives us his strength, and that effectively lightens the load. The fourth thing that we learned is that God is our ever-present help in trouble. The psalmist wants to make absolutely certain we don't miss this point, and he emphasizes it. God is present always, and you can count on it. You can count on his presence, and his presence is his help. And then we came to the concluding point, the fifth assurance, is that his grace is abundant and sufficient and never ending for us. The psalmist paints a rather graphic picture of the sufficient supply of the grace of God for our every need. In the fourth verse of Psalm 46, it reads, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." These are our assurances. Now we're going to push pause because we've come to the river. Here's where I want to push pause. So before we take up the question of what do we do when the stresses come, that's next week now. Psalm 46 answers that question. Six things to do when the stresses come. I want to take time this morning to spend some time at the river with you. See, the river speaks of the presence of God. The river speaks of that fountain of the water of life that flows up from the very depths of the Christian soul. Only the Christian can experience this fountain, for Jesus is the one who is the water of life, and he is the one who gives the water of life. Jesus said, Whoever drinks of the water I give them shall never thirst. And so I invite you this morning to come with me and let's spend some quiet time together on the bank of this great river of God's grace and presence and enjoy Him and worship Him together in word and song and have a little fun along the way. Allow God this morning to stir your heart deep within with the sense of His wonderful presence and of His great and vast redeeming love for you. As I was reflecting on this message, the title for which comes right out of this verse, "There is a River," a song came to me by the same title, a song that in the past in my life has had a powerful impact on me. And it came to my memory. And I don't know how many times I have sung it on the tractor seat this week, but it's a lot. And I want you to just watch the words. The words will come up on screen as Barb and Cheryl share this song with us. "Come to the water. There is a vast supply." God bless you as you sing. That song not only used to have a powerful impact on me, it still does. See, deep within us, if you're a believer in Jesus, deep within you, you have said yes to his invitation. You have accepted him into your heart. Deep within you is a fountain filled with the water of his life-giving, sustaining grace. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, because the presence of Jesus, the one who is the water of life, is in your heart. It's kind of like the old Sunday school chorus. You know, remember that chorus? Running over, running over, running over. My cup is full and running over since the Lord saved me. I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and running over. There's another chorus that we used to sing. We're pulling out some oldie goldies that really bring us to the river and help us enjoy being on the peaceful shore of God's presence this morning. And it's, I've got peace like a river. And join in with the team in your homes and sing along. Joy is there because of the presence of Christ. One of a longtime favorite songs here at First Baptist in Barrie is the song Because He Lives. And that song, I was surprised to discover, actually came out of a time of great national and personal turmoil in the lives of the Gaithers. And their story of how this song came to be resonates today just as much as in the early 70s when they wrote about it. When Bill and I started our family in the 60s, racial tensions were tearing the country apart. Civil rights activists had suffered and some had been killed. The Vietnam conflict was claiming thousands of lives, and tensions boiled over on university campuses. Many young people were growing disillusioned and dropping out. And in this climate, Bill and I sought to write songs with lasting answers to the turmoil of the human spirit. But in the fall of 1969, several things happened to test the reality of our own convictions. We realized we were expecting another baby. And though we had always intended to have another child, we were not planning on a baby so soon. My body hadn't quite recovered from the last pregnancy yet. Making matters worse, Bill had contracted mononucleosis, and this had left him exhausted and depressed. This combination of national turmoil and personal trouble discouraged us, and we occasionally asked each other, if the world is like this now, what will it be like 15 or 16 years from now for our baby? What will this child face? While pondering and praying about these things, we came to realize anew that our courage doesn't come from a stable world, for the world has never been stable. Jesus himself was born in the cruelest of times. No, we have babies, we raise families, and we risk living because the resurrection is true. Our baby arrived safe and sound, and we named him Benjamin, which means most beloved son. A few weeks later, Because He Lives was born in our hearts, and poured from our souls. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because he lives. And Gloria finishes by saying, over the years, this song has reassured us that our Lord's resurrection is the central truth of life. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And many times since, as our children grew, and our business life changed, our fortune shifted, or our direction became clouded, our family has found assurance in this very personal song. Because he lives. Sing it together with the music team. Because he lives, we do not even have to fear or be stressed out about that moment that will come to each one of us, aside from the second coming of the Lord, when it's our turn to cross that final river. Frances Ridley Havergal thought she was about to cross that final river. At the age of 39, she contracted a severe lung infection, and it was thought she would not survive. And when she was told that she might die, she said these words, I quote, "If I am really going, it's too good to be true." And her friends were absolutely amazed at how peaceful she was at the prospect that she might die. Well, she pulled through, and she later wrote the song, "Like a River Glorious." And as we sing, as this song is sung for you, let God speak to your heart. Read the words and let the truths that she has captured for out of her experience and her knowledge of God and her experience of standing on the bank of that river. Listen to the words and let them speak.
Yet it's
What is the river that brings the presence of God to us? It is that life-giving blood of Jesus Christ shed at the cross for you and for me. And our next song asks the question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Join together with the team as we contemplate the question in this song and the answer.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood?
The gospel all boils down to one word, and that's the word yes. Saying yes to Jesus. He's done it all for us. He has paid the price on the cross. We could not do that for us. All He asks for us is He has provided salvation for us, hands it to us. But all we have to do is say yes. This is not about being religious. This is not about form. This is not about all the things that are done in the name of God and religion. It's about saying yes to Jesus and having a personal relationship with Him. That's what the gospel boils down to in one word. You know, I remember very clearly when and where Joan said yes to me. It was on the North River Bridge of the then 7th line of North Orillia Township on Sunday, July the 18th, 1976 at approximately 8:30 p.m. Do you know why I remember the approximate on the time? It was after evening church service. In that moment of her saying yes, a transaction took place and our lives changed irrevocably forever at that moment. See, a couple can know each other. They can have known each other for a long time. They can be dating for a long time. They could be seriously talking about a future together. For short time or long time, doesn't matter. But until a proposal is made and a yes is given, it's not real. There is no engagement. There is no future together. Until that one word, that yes, is given. And in that moment, in that one word, everything changes. Jesus has already made His proposal to you. Most of you listening will have already at some point in your life said yes to Him. And you know that river of life, and you have so enjoyed this morning standing on the bank of that river and reveling in the presence of Jesus springing up in your soul. But maybe some of you listening, haven't actually said yes. You don't really understand yet that that's really all that it boils down to. See, Jesus made his proposal to you at the cross when he stretched out his arms and he died for you, because he loves you that much. But he needs you to say yes. You may know all about him. You may even say, yes, I believe in Jesus. You may be, quote, dating Jesus, just kind of on a journey, exploring who Jesus is and what it was all about. But if you have not yet said yes to him, the transaction isn't complete. He's waiting for your answer. I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If you open the door of your heart, if you say yes, I will come into your life. If you have never said yes to Jesus, folks, you have no hope of heaven when it comes time to cross that final river. You have no hope of spending eternity with him. The gospel boils down to this one word, saying yes to Jesus. So I'm asking you this morning, I'm pleading with you, if you haven't said yes, say yes to Jesus today before it's too late, and discover in him that river of life that flows from eternity into eternity that will spring up within your heart. Would you pray with me? God, our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning, and we're in awe of you. We're in awe of how great your love for us is, that you should send your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be raised up upon a cross to pay the price of our sin. Heavenly Father, if there is someone in the sound of my voice who has never said yes to you, may this be the moment that they just say that word, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to come into my heart and forgive my sin and cleanse my soul. Wash me in your soul-cleansing blood. I want to be your child. Heavenly Father, as we prepare in the next few moments to take communion, I ask that in each one of our homes, wherever we are listening from this morning, that every person listening would sense your presence just there with them. Draw very close to them and draw them close to your heart. That river of life, may bring calm to every soul because it brings your presence. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, I will be joined by Alex Black, chair of our deacons. He will, at the appropriate moment, lead in prayer for both the bread and the cup. Before we do that, I want you to consider the words of this song that brings us to the table of communion, to the river.
To surrender every Morning. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we gather this morning, let us remember the sacrifice you made through your body hanging on the cross to die for our sins of today, that we never forget your sacrifice. Jesus, you rose from death to cover us and clean us white as snow of our sins. These things, as we hold and remember, may we continue to turn away from the sinful world that we live in and look to and follow you because of the sacrifice you made for each one of us, leaving our burdens at the foot of your cross. May we all say yes to you in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Take and eat of the bread that reminds us of his body, broken for you and for me. Take of the cup which reminds us of his blood, his life's blood shed for you, poured out for you, so that you might enjoy life in him. Now for our final song.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with.
Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.